Sometimes life feels out of our control. We get stuck in trauma, old patterns, and change feels out of reach. Sometimes it feels like fate. We want to help you break out of old, unhelpful patterns and become healthier. We're Fate Resilience, taking control of the outcome.
With licensed therapists, Jennifer Oxford,
Taylor Madsen,
Haley Mayer. Well, welcome back. We're going to talk about...
For those of you that are just listening back to back, thanks for staying with us.
It's only been 5 minutes. We're now on to meeting happiness, which means I am well, I am worthwhile. What was the last part of that?
I have fulfillment and connection.
I have fulfillment and connection.
The stain in your voice right now is high.
It's not bad. I just realized, yeah.
Now you're blushing. That was fun. I rarely see you blush.
Am I blushing? I don't feel like I am. I don't think I'm blushing.
You are a little bit.
Really? Oh, no. I realize also I never introduce podcast episodes. I always am the last one to talk. But
no, I'm always blushing because I'm always the one that I just realized.
No, I was like looking at it. I was like, I got to introduce a couple of these so that it doesn't sound like I just walked into the meeting.
You just pulled Haley off the street. We don't really know her.
Seriously. They're like, she's a therapist is what she keeps telling us. But like, she's got a really sketchy background.
Don't we all?
That's why we're therapists.
Okay, so back to the topic.
Yeah, we have 2.5 redheads in a room. This can't go well.
Yeah. Yes. So, all right. Happiness.
Back on track. Are we leaving this in? I hope so.
Yeah, all of it. Okay, so when it comes to happiness, I mean, I think all of us are going to be like in this moment, at least able to be honest with, we were all like, wait, what does that mean again? And what do I need to do with that? And so you have 3 therapists who are still trying to figure out happiness. Like, we'll talk to you about grief all day long and trauma and anxiety.
Your worst trauma.
Okay. No, you guys, I wanted to just start. Okay. I think this is one of the things that can help everybody, even as they're listening to the podcast. I want you to just think of your happiest memory. Just give yourself, instead of saying, what is happiness? You're way too rational right now. Get into your limbic brain and say, what was my happiest memory? And notice that it usually is about connecting with people.
Oh gosh, mine was about to go.
I was going to get to that. Or connecting to yourself.
Okay.
And your purpose and your fulfillment. Right? So it might be a moment where you felt proud of yourself that you accomplished something. It might be a moment when stress was finally over. It might be a moment where you felt true connection with somebody. I can feel really happy gazing at my husband, not every time, but there are times.
It's a difference when you said gazing and not seething at my husband. So I think that implied the good ones. Yeah, you're good.
I can feel happiness when holding my nieces and nephews and seeing them. I feel happiness when I see people I love be successful. I feel happiness when I can just sit and relax, but I also feel really happy if I've just finished a huge project. So as we connect to that, remember, it's really hard because these are emotions and these aren't thoughts. It is hard to put labels to those things. But when you say, when was I truly happy? Those are the kinds of things that we're going to notice. Did you guys notice other types of memories?
I think those kind of went along with it. I mean, I'll share my moment of happiness. Honestly, the one that immediately came to my mind. So I have a dog. She's huge. Love her. But so she'll occasionally be up in my room and sleep on my bed at night. And she takes up half the bed. But there's this part in the morning where she gets off the bed and I can finally stretch my legs out. And that's like pure happiness. It seriously is. But then she also like will come and snuggle and things like that. So like for me, it's like getting my needs fulfilled. It's like just... my bed's very comfortable. I'm, you know, all able to just like feel like I'm supported and I'm just doing what I need to. And then also just being able to stretch and just that pure feeling of like, oh. And so for me, that's more of like happiness, I think, is often tied to like a relief feeling. And so, yeah, that's what came up for me.
And order your emotional support animals.
I know, right? She's not an ESA, but.
But she's aren't all
pets. All they're dogs all... are. That's why they go to heaven.
It's, yeah. Maggie's the best of the best. There we go.
Taylor, how about you? What were some of your thoughts as we thought about happiness?
Getting married, holding my kids for the first time. Some funnier, more random moments. Like, I love seeing other people be really passionate about their stuff. So like going to Comic-Con for the first time was really funny. Like seeing people in their element, that was so much fun. That was happy. Yeah.
I think that that idea of connecting with myself, feeling proud of myself, knowing I accomplished something. And sometimes happinesses are really like not acknowledged by other people. Like I can just sit there and say, gosh, I'm really proud of myself and happy. So it's not always a super public thing. It often can be very private. It can be public. There's nothing wrong with that either. But I think it's important to recognize that pretending to be happy in public is not happiness. That's called a mask.
That's why I always ask everyone in my life how they're doing twice, because the first one is a polite automatic response.
Yeah.
Unless you're more better friends with Taylor and then you just give your response the first time. Cause
yeah.
You're like, oh, not great. Thanks for asking. And then that becomes a mask response. No.
There's truth in that.
It's true. Yeah. The more I think about it, I think personally, I often group my happiness with relief feelings, and relief is a completely different emotion, but to me, the two very often walk hand in hand, because I'm also thinking about other happy memories of like when I passed my, you know, my test for my licensing exam. It was the, I think that is, I will.
That test is going to burn in hell.
Oh, yes. But that I always joke, but it's true that is the only time I've ever been like a weight noticeably lifted off my shoulders. And I felt a complete peace for that moment. It was just this feeling of like happiness, but it was honestly a majority of it was relief. And again, back to like my memory I mentioned earlier and this one, both are very highly correlated with relief.
I think the one that, I don't know if surprised is the right word, but the one that I don't usually start with when I think about happiness is when I feel fulfilled, when it's a job well done, or I feel connected to my purpose in life.
It's that quieter happiness that kind of even I think is a sister of peace.
Yeah. So I feel that in my work when I feel like I've been able to help somebody learn something new or move through an emotion. It's often a really tender experience to do that, but that moves into my level of fulfillment and that brings happiness to me. So my job makes me really happy.
Yeah, makes sense.
Happiness. We actually know a lot about happiness. I'd like to spend podcasts in the future talking about it, but I'm doing random acts of kindness for other people. Service can increase happiness a great deal. There was a really interesting experiment I'm remembering where people were given $1 to go put on people's windshields, $1 a day, one windshield a day, over 5 days, measured their happiness before and after. And then another group of people were given five $1 bills to go put on five separate windshields all in one day and measure their happiness before, and then 5 days later. And the group of people that did five acts of kindness in one day were happier 5 days later than the people that did one random act of kindness a day for 5 days.
And for me, part of what I'm not a researcher, so I won't ever do the work to research this, but I think that comes to connection, right? Because even when you're putting a dollar bill in a stranger's window, you're thinking, this is going to make their day better, because it would make my day better. You're in empathy at that point. You're that common humanity of like, okay, it may not fix all their problems, but being seen and known, which we've talked about, when we see and know other people and we connect, it's really important. So when we are doing service, we move into fulfillment and connection, and those bring a lot of happiness.
And one connection that people can always have available to them is a connection with themselves, just on their own, which, you know, go back to our loneliness podcast, you still need other people, or a connection to a higher power or something bigger than themselves. So if you don't believe in a higher power, you don't want to choose a higher power because that's not your cup of tea. Just connecting with something bigger than yourself, like nature, connecting with something like that will help increase your happiness as well.
Mm-hmm. I also have people connect with the higher version of themselves with what you're describing a lot, especially when a higher power isn't quite as present, or they're still experimenting or learning what their higher power is, so they don't feel as secure with being able to rely on that in an activity like that. But I like the idea of what's being described there, of saying that, you know, connecting with the higher version or a better version or whatever it is of yourself. If you're looking at that, I don't think any of us looks at a better version of ourselves and we see someone who's like feeling crappy, right? We look at someone who feels happy. And most of the things I hear from people, and I am a researcher, but I haven't done the stats and I probably would love to. But one of the things is, you know, looking at their higher version of self, most clients I talk to, most friends, most people just in general, they talk about experiencing seeing someone who, you know, they look like they can be happy no matter what. They look like they know how to stay grounded. They know how to, you know, have joy. They're experiencing it. That's just, you know, I think that's a better version of where I'm at right now. And so I think we all see ourselves as working towards that and saying, I really would love to have the opportunity of just knowing that I can be in a better space. And that's what I work towards, is not that I'm going to feel happy all the time and that's the only thing I feel, but just that idea of like, I know I'm able to just feel it a lot more, whole body experience when I do have it, rather than being like, oh yeah, happy, move on. Right.
This isn't something I want to spend a lot of time on, but I think I'm a pretty happy person. Mm-hmm. I also have a chronic pain condition, so I never get to feel physically well. But that doesn't need to impact my happiness once I did the work around it.
And once memes were invented.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor became much happier in general because he could connect his thoughts to all his joys.
I do have hundreds of memes saved on my phone for when I need a little pick me up.
I think, as I think about this, for people who feel like, but what if I never feel happy? That is possibly a sign of depression, because mm-hmm. people who can't feel happy may actually have a chemical imbalance.
That's actually been debunked.
Really?
This month.
What?
I forgot to share that with you too.
Are we still stable as therapists? What do we have to do?
Yeah, sorry, we can cut all this out, or we can leave it in. But the serotonin theory has been debunked. It's not a chemical imbalance that leads to depression.
Tell me more.
I got to pull up the research. I'm not remembering the rest of it, but I was blown away. It was really solid research.
Crazy.
Okay, we're going to have to go.
If we do leave it in, a theory is a hypothesis that makes testable predictions. So like evolution, gravity. Let's stick with gravity. Evolution might be a little controversial for some listeners. So gravity is a hypothesis that makes testable predictions. We have equations. We can see where a planet is, how it's going to move, etc. Serotonin was a hypothesis. Serotonin exists, sorry, but that serotonin imbalance is what leads to depression and some other diagnoses. Was a hypothesis that made testable predictions, like let's prescribe a serotonin reuptake inhibitor, something that affects the production of serotonin in the brain, and the depression or other diagnosis will alleviate. That theory has been debunked now.
Okay. So what do they say is happening instead?
They don't have a replacement for it.
Oh, they're just like, hey, that actually doesn't work like we thought it would.
In research, when we're using statistics, we have the theory or the hypothesis, whichever one we're working with, and we either reject it or we fail to reject it. It doesn't mean that we accept it. Those are the two outcomes in statistics and research. And so when we've been working with a serotonin hypothesis, we've been failing to reject it. We haven't come up with something better, or we haven't seen evidence to reject it yet. And now we have evidence to reject it.
Well, that's really important, because I know in what I've seen is that while medication, serotonin can help some people, that it's actually therapy or the mixture of both that has been seen as more effective.
Yeah, medication is incredibly helpful. Just because the reason why we started medicating people, or the theory came after the medication, still beneficial. Just because the reason why we think it's beneficial isn't around anymore doesn't mean that we're not going to continue to use medication.
There are people who experience a difference with it. I don't know why they experience a difference with it, but they do.
Yeah, like a panic disorder used to be called schizophrenia without hallucinations or delusions. And then Lamictal was invented, and they weren't seeing any improvement with people with schizophrenia. And so they were going to discontinue giving these patients Lamictal. And the nurses essentially said, over my dead body, because they suddenly had these group of people that were no longer coming to them incredibly frightened. And they realized that they were dealing with something different than schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. And that's where the panic disorder diagnosis came from.
Okay. So don't stop taking your prescribed meds based on a podcast. Please see your doctor. Yes. What's the difference between peace and happiness?
The information that it's giving us. As far as how it feels in the body, it's going to depend on each person. For me, peace is a quieter feeling. It's not as loud for how it feels in my body. Happiness is a much more... it's a bigger feeling, and it pushes me to do something with it. Whereas peace, I'm content to just sit in the emotion. Happiness, I tend to do something with it. It pushes me to laugh. It mm-hmm. pushes me to continue to connect with the people that I'm feeling happy with the connection with.
Yeah, I like that idea that peace is more of a calm, slow emotion. Happiness generally is of movement. Again, if I am enjoying time with people, I want to do more of that. Mm-hmm. I want to experience more fulfillment, more connection, more relief that yeah. Haley talked about.
I would say, yeah, peace for me is more of like a calm, soothing energy, and happiness has more of an energy to it, where it's just the idea of an action needs to happen, or an action is happening internally by me. And like happiness is more of like an energy that's like an action is happening inside of me or outside of me. Like I want to go do something, or inside of me, like you got your stomach getting excited, or, you know, you're just feeling like kind of like you're beaming light, kind of that feeling. And so I think of it like that. So I think for me, paying attention to the two is good. I think if we're noticing too that maybe we're not feeling happiness as often as we would like to, I think there is something to go into, like seeing if there is a depression symptom. I think that that's always good to just be aware of, because a lot of people, I'm like, you can just feel happiness. And then you meet people who are clinically depressed and you're like, you cannot just feel happiness. I get that. There's a lot that's going on right now. But if you're realizing you're not feeling happy, I would say the first thing to do would first start to see if you're feeling peace ever. I would say a peace is a good, like, kind of palate cleansing emotion to kind of begin that journey of, can I go feel true happiness? If I can't feel peace, I probably won't be able to know how to get into a happy situation.
So if you use the mood meter that was created by the Yale Center for Emotional Intelligence, mm-hmm. they look at emotions on two levels, one either high energy, low energy, and then the other axis is positive or negative. And what you guys just described was very true, that peace is a low energy positive emotion and happiness is a high energy positive emotion. And so when we look at that and we ask that, it's important, going back to what Haley said, if you're not feeling either and you're more in that numb or that negative zone of emotions, that is could be depression for sure, but also a lot of unprocessed emotion. Your system might be overwhelmed. Those are some things that you can look at and you can work on to increase your window for peace and happiness in your life.
Along with those lines of window of tolerance, people have a smaller window of tolerance for these positive emotions of peace and happiness particularly, than we do for things like sadness or anger. Brené Brown calls it foreboding joy. We will be in a happy situation and then we'll expect that it won't be able to last. Someone with an addiction is more likely to relapse when feeling happiness than any other kind of emotion. And in the beginning stages of a relationship, that gushy happy stage, people are more likely to make bad decisions, sign up for a predatory loan, or make other bad decisions than in any other kind of emotion. And it's something we could recreate in a lab. In that kind of stage of a relationship, there's a lot of oxytocin released. It's a bonding hormone or a neurotransmitter. And we can spray it up someone's nose, and then they will make awful decisions afterward that they wouldn't make outside of that. So
that's just like a cruel April Fool's plan.
It's so funny, though.
That sounds more like manic, too, which actually is becoming a more common word in mainstream, is that idea of just that idea of happiness, but like on steroids.
Yeah.
Well, and again, happiness, you still have your idea, your morals and values. So that... Mm-hmm. That is a big difference. Mania, you lose moral value.
So happiness, just like any other emotion we've talked about so far on the podcast, you could become emotionally flooded with, which shuts down certain parts of the brain, and we become a little dumber. So it's important to regulate any emotion, not just the ones we don't like. Thanks for listening. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review. And if you want to find us on social media, we're on Instagram and Facebook at Fate Resilience. We'd love to hear from you.